listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Take your Bibles. This morning I want to share with you a significant message. Last week, we looked into the idea of authenticity. How many remember that? Well, I do. I remember. It's like, and I'd like to address another aspect of this morning. And that would be our realness when it comes to our walk with Jesus. I want to share with you a fundamental truth, that if we would grasp this truth this morning, I believe it would prevent a negative name change that could come to our life. Can I say this? Your name or your reputation is worth protecting. And that is what you'll go down and be known for. That is what I want you to preserve in your life today. Because in a split second, we can make decisions that will forever change how we're perceived. And I'm here this morning to save your bacon, if I can. So take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 27. I'm going to read for you one verse in the English Standard Version. And it goes like this. And when Judas, his betrayer, saw Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind. And he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. This is one of the more famous stories in the Bible. I want you to get the picture here. Judas was once known as a disciple of Jesus. And now we read he is known as the betrayer of Jesus. That is a big change in his name. Big change. How do you get from disciple to betrayer so quickly? It probably didn't happen overnight, but the tipping point was when Jesus allowed expensive perfume to be used by Mary to anoint him. That, I believe, where Judas turned a corner in his life. You see, Jesus messed with Judas's value system. And I'd like you to know this morning, Jesus will likely mess with your value system in some way, shape, or form. In Judas' case, this might have been going on for quite a while. And this incident was simply the straw that breaks the camel's back. It resulted in Judas not getting his way. And eventually, Judas gets offended by Jesus. Yes, you can get offended by Jesus. It's possible. Getting offended is a big deal. It led to Judas betraying the very Son of God. When you think of it, just think about it for a little bit. I don't know anybody in Aberdeen or beyond, for that matter, that's named Judas. You won't pass anyone on the street today named Judas. There's probably not a Judas in your children's school classroom or on the company's roster, for that matter. Most parents won't saddle their newborn baby with that kind of baggage for the rest of their lives and name their kid Judas. It's actually an interesting concept that Judas's name, his reputation, has followed him to this very day, and Christians and non-Christians alike stay away from the name Judas for whatever reason. And yet Judas, despite the severity of the sin that he committed, such as that we can hardly think of a more infamous transgression throughout all human history, that is to betray the Son of God. It's actually defined as much by what he did after his sin as by the sin itself. And that's because, listen carefully, failure isn't ultimately in the falling. Even if your falling is worse than you ever thought possible, real failure is the failure to deal with the fallout of the falling. The road of your life doesn't fork at what you did or what you didn't do, or what you should have done or what you shouldn't have done. It forks at what you do next. And this is huge, church. What we do next. The Bible says, when Judas saw the result of what selling out of Jesus had caused, the Bible says he changed his mind concerning what he had done. What is very interesting to me is that the word used in the original language here is also the word translated as felt remorse in the New American Standard Bible. If you look at the New International Version, it renders it this way, as being seized with remorse. It's the same Greek word that everywhere else in Scripture is translated repentance. But the reason why his so-called repentance does not appear in the biblical narrative about Judas, you see, the reason is because it is not descriptive of what he did. He did not repent. He only felt sorry. All Judas did was wish that he had not done it. And there's a big difference between wishing you had not done it and repentance itself. And that's what I want to talk to us about this morning, because that is huge. I get worried a little bit about how we in modern Christianity have kind of changed biblical truth. It's not always the case in Christianity. It's a perception that's out there at large. Being a pastor in this community for as long as I've been here has brought me into some circles, non-Christian circles, and I'm asked to do a lot of things in these circles. Sometimes I'm asked to do a wedding and perform a marriage ceremony. Sometimes I'm asked to do a funeral. But what I experience in the funeral thing is that a lot of people don't have a biblical perspective of what happens in life after death. This Saturday, we're going to celebrate Paul DeBook's homegoing. And I'm here to tell you that's a very positive environment. We can be well assured today that Paul is in a better place, even than you and I. He's in the presence of Jesus. By the way, we're going to meet at 1 o'clock. Bill Mullikanen told me that he's catching fish left, right, and center. And if somebody will bake some of these fish and bring it to the potluck, then so be it, okay? Talk to Bill after, get a fish, but you got to bring it to the potluck, okay? Can't just consume it upon yourself. Well, the point that I'm making with this illustration is that a lot of people get the idea that when they die, there's just this automatic thing that they go to be at the great golf course in heaven, or at the best fishing hole you've ever seen. Or you put your own description on what you like or you don't like. But how many know we get to heaven because of what Jesus has done for us? Amen? You see, that's a misconception out there, that everybody automatically gets to go to heaven. Here's the other misconception that we have, and this is quite largely within the family of God, that God somehow winks at our sin, and he overlooks our wrongdoing. How many know that was not the case with Judas? Judas felt sorry about what he had done. And how many know that was a pretty gross sin to sell off Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? I think you get the point. But in Judas' case, we can learn a lot of how to handle our misdeeds in life. That's my point. And I want you to have a clear biblical understanding of how to get to heaven, but at the same time, I want you to have a clear understanding of how to handle your misdeeds, how I should handle my misdeeds or sins in life. As far as Judas was concerned, wishing that he had not done it was not sufficient, because his sin had now just cost him everything. I want you to think about it. You might be surprised to contemplate that Judas was at one time a member in good standing on the Jesus discipleship team. How many know you might want to give your eye teeth to be on that team? chosen as one of the 12. I mean, you know, that was quite an honor. Judas was welcomed into that tight group. He'd been amongst those who had that were sent out to preach the gospel. How many remember Jesus sent his disciples out two by two? Judas was part of that team, preaching to people about the kingdom of God. He'd been singled out for a valuable position. He was put in place of taking care of the funds related to the ministry. He was sort of a CFO of the organization. He was an important person doing important work, but now we find Judas in a completely different place. He was on the outs, if we want to use a common terminology. The disciples obviously wanted nothing more to do with him. They had gotten the chief priests and the elders that he joined in conspiracing against Jesus. They're dismissive towards him right now. They had gotten from him what they wanted and needed, and he was used. But just add to that whole story, the bargain that he had struck with them had not paid them enough to make it worth his while. So was he sorry? Absolutely he was sorry. He had good reason to be sorry. Sorry that everyone was mad at him. Sorry enough to wish things had somehow go back to the way they were before. But wishing that you'd done something different, when the wishing is only for selfish reasons, does not resolve the regret. It's not the same as repentance. And that's what I want you to understand this morning. We may have erred, sinned, but are we repenting? Or are we feeling sorry for what we got ourselves into? Being sorry even that we got caught. Sorry that maybe we're hurting. Sorry that this makes us feel bad or look bad. But that's not how people work through or get out of and get beyond their sin. There's a biblical way that we deal with those kinds of things. And I'm sorry to tell you this morning that Judas did not subscribe to that pathway. As much as we learn about Judas, we learn these outside of the realms of God. That's a sad outcome. Sad but true, because of Judas's choices. And because of Judas's choices, he finds himself completely outside of the ark of God's provision. That's pretty serious stuff when you think of who Judas was. It tells me that God is dead serious about how we handle our transgressions. And if we want to embrace God and be everything that God wants us to be, it's critically important that we deal with our sin in a biblical proper way. Otherwise, we become trapped inside of our sin. And then we go into our cycles. Maybe you can identify with them. The cycles look like this. We sin, we somehow admit we've sinned, and then we sin and we confess. Does that sound familiar? Without ever experiencing any change in our life. There's never any real difference because we've omitted a biblical word, and that word is repent. In our culture, repentance is ridiculed. It's that idiot or that fool guy with a sandwich sign marching up and down the sidewalk, shouting at the top of his lungs, repent, repent, repent. And so the message of repentance has become ridiculed by our culture. But it's a very important word when it comes to the kingdom of God. The sin in our life may have done some damage to your name, at least among certain people who've been affected by it. Yet the opportunity for a name change still lies before us. That is, if you want your name to stand for something good, for something better. I'm talking to you today not as if you have not sinned or you don't have any sin, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a measure of sin in every one of us here in this room today. We need the forgiveness of Jesus. We need to apply repentance, because that's the pathway to a name change for us. I have a responsibility, and that responsibility is a weighty responsibility, because one day, really, this is true, I'm going to stand before Jesus, and I'm going to give an account of what I've shared with the people of God and others besides. And so I have to tell the truth. I have to proclaim the truth. That's my job. And that is to lay out for you a pathway. That's God's pathway to wholeness. And let me give it to you. I've only jotted down three things, and this is going to be real quick. Number one, we all have to own our sin. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's, come on, church, me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, all right? We got to own that. That's us. That's our stuff. You did it. Take ownership. Don't blame somebody. I've heard a recent story of somebody processing some things in their life, and it's easy to blame their pastor. To blame somebody else in the church. It's easy to do that, but it's not a matter of blame shifting. It's a matter of taking ownership for our own stuff. Amen? Number two, once you take ownership for your stuff, secondly, repent. Repentance is an interesting term. It means to deal with your sin and completely do a 180 and go another direction. If you do a 360, you're back where you started. I want you to get the math right. You got to do a 180 and go yet another direction, the direction of the Lord. And what is that direction? Ask Jesus for forgiveness. And by the way, he will forgive you. Isn't that good news? And we turn from our sin, our wickedness, and we go and sin no more. That's the good deal. And finally, thirdly, stop feeling sorry for what your sin has done to you. If you do that, you'll go down in history as someone who did the right thing about your wrong things. doing the right thing about our wrong things. Let me remind you this morning, it's not about you. This whole deal is not about you. It's about betraying the master and getting yourself restored to Jesus and every other relationship in your life. This message is about getting you on a correct path with God and keeping you there. And that's pretty important. When you consider the eternal scope of your journey, from the day you were born to the day you received Jesus in your life, and today, to the day you get promoted into the presence of Jesus, that pathway is a significant pathway, because that's our window of opportunity that God has given to us, one life, to represent Him. And it's critically important that we learn how to stay on that pathway. The enemy's goal is to deceive you and somehow distract you from that pathway. I talked to you about that last Sunday to some degree. We're here not hearing messages here this morning necessarily as much as applying a truth to our life. And we can learn from this guy Judas. His fame, nobody wants to associate with to this very day. If you have a baby and you want to name him Judas, let's talk about it. Maybe you're not getting the full picture. But at the same time, we can learn from this guy of how to do the right thing. Yeah, we fall. We fail. Like I said earlier, it's not so much in the falling. It's what we do next that's really, really important. You see, Dave shared with us a word of exhortation this morning about not taking casual the pathway. You can add all kinds of things to the pathway, the presence of God, the service, everything that God's doing. Don't take that casually. God wants to maximize out of your situation. And come share with us this insight that you have for us this morning. I think it goes along this line that it's incumbent upon us not to put off, but to act speedily when God puts His finger on our life.
So I was praying, and the Lord said, redeem the time, for the days are evil. And what I saw was that God was speaking. This is before the sermon, of course. And He was saying, this is a now time. Today is the day not to harden your heart. Today is the day to turn and receive and respond to the word of the Lord. Because I saw that there is a gap. And the gap is the time between you receive and you heard a word, and then you respond to the word. You really respond to the word. In that gap of indecision, when you put it off, I saw the enemy was waiting. He waits for that moment. You get up, you walk out of the church, oh well, well yeah, that was good. But you don't change. In the moment of indecision, the enemy is now at the door. So what the Lord has spoken through the message, and everybody's got a different thought as they sit there, I want to encourage and exhort you to respond. It's not too late. That was another part of this. It's all about timing. It's not too late. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Now is the moment. God's not talking about let's do this next week. He's saying right now. Don't leave this place and go home and have a nice notebook and not change. Because the enemy will come in. You can think about in the past many times, you put things off. And this is an urgency. I feel real urgency. Do not put off your response. It's not about coming to the front, or me, or Dave, or the prayer team helping you out here. It's about you saying, that's me, God. I need to change some things. I need to repent. I need to ask you in my life, maybe, if you've never done that. I need to admit to myself that my life is not lining up with the Word of God. And people can be nice and encouraging to you at the altar. But God's saying, we're not playing games. This is serious. Very serious. Now is the time. Today is the time. Don't go on sinning and sinning and staying in the place you've been. It's a day of transformation. It's a day of restoration. It's a day of healing, deliverance, maybe for you.
I think this is the word of the Lord for this people in this room here today. Whether you realize it or not, that there is an excess of 2,000 people that do listen to our services online each and every week. I run into some of those people locally. The word of the Lord goes out wide. It's widespread. And I believe God is calling people into truth, into living out truth, and not living in a fiction or a make-believe world. But God wants to call a people to himself. There's a pathway. And we're going to stand in a moment, and those are online and can pray with us as well. But I do want you to pray and ask God to reveal anything that stands between you and him. Confess it. Repent of it. And let him bring healing to your life and restoration. It could have been different for Judas. It could have been. He could have repented. But he chose a different pathway. And today, if we would repent and turn, go the pathway of the Lord. I believe there is this great, great provision from God. We align ourselves with God and his purposes. You look at the other 11 disciples and where God took their lives, they literally turned the known world upside down. They did. And you and I are the benefactors of that today. We stand here because the gospel went forth and men laid their lives down, women laid their lives down. Read the book of Hebrews. The Bible says that of those that laid their lives down, this world is not worthy of them.
because of their sacrifices to extend the kingdom. So I'm going to pray with you and for you this morning. I'm going to ask you to embrace what God wants you to embrace. Repent of it. Turn the corner. Get on the pathway. Serve Him with all of your hearts. If you'd like some more encouragement with that, our prayer team is here to pray with you. I want to encourage those that are online to join us in prayer as well. So stand to your feet with me, would you? This is not about the head, it's about the heart. So I want you just to put your hands on your heart area, your chest area here. We're going to pray that God will reveal to us what needs to be revealed. And then we can do due diligence with the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, today we stand in your presence in this room. And throughout the online viewing audience, Lord, we're mindful that your Holy Spirit is at work and not limited to a physical room. But as the word of the Lord goes forth, the Holy Spirit brings that word to the heart, our hearts, and we take full responsibility for the word of the Lord today. And we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you'd reveal what it is in our life that we need to repent from. Not merely feel sorry about or feel bad about some emotional spin that we put ourselves on, but Lord, that we would take ownership and we would repent. And so, Jesus, we're asking for you to forgive us of our sin. Because it's our desire to turn from our wickedness. That's what repentance is all about. And we pray that the blood of Jesus will forgive us of all unrighteousness. And we'll not play the game of feeling sorry for ourselves, but we will stand as men and women of God, taking full responsibility for the direction of our life. From this day forward, Lord, we're asking that you'll give us strength, the encouragement to embrace you, embrace your purpose, and embrace this life you've called us to live before man. And that somehow, some way, that there will be fruit for the kingdom because of our investment in making the right choices. So we commit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to the purpose of God, to serving you with all of our heart and living this life that you have given to us according to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. How many love Jesus and are grateful for his workmanship? Let's give him honor this morning, shall we? Yes. Yes, and now our prayer team is here to pray with you if you choose to take additional prayer from them. They want to encourage you in the journey. All right? God bless you. Have a powerful week and live for God with all of your being. God bless you.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.